is done. Keep this in mind. Yesterday, I want to demonstrate, I want you to walk out of here understanding that the mathematical model that general relativity produced dealing with gravity, space, and time predicted operations and functions of how stars work. It also predicted the life cycle, how stars grow and should die, and what the masses are related to. And it made predictions of these things called white dwarfs and neutron stars. And I showed you through a variety of pictures, even though these strange objects have strange properties, our telescopes, visual as well as radio, have pulled together pictures of exactly these things. Pulsars were actually the neutron stars that were predicted. These planetary nebulas were in fact the white dwarfs that were predicted. And it's the same equation that made the predictions along those things. And we've seen white dwarfs, we've seen neutron stars. The next step is, after we get something that has three solar masses or greater, it says it's now going to collapse the neutron star to the strange object, which we call a black hole. Now, let's just go. Now, this will be very interesting. When we talk about black holes, when a lot of popular science books talk about black holes, there are three perspectives that you can talk about. The first perspective is somebody far away watching what's happening. They watch a star collapse into a black hole. They watch somebody fall into a black hole from a far away distance. They're the weenie scientists. They're nowhere near a black hole. Right? They're far, far away. Right? Those are the quantum systems that the Schwarzschild method basically likes to use. It basically converts everything to the far away guy, because the far away dude can get a picture of what's happening. The other location is the guy falling into the black hole. So sometimes they get the best picture of what's happening. They're actually in what we call a low fall, free fall situation. They're free falling into the black hole. The third dude, right, is what we call a shell observer, or sometimes an accelerated observer. They're the person in the rocket ship outside the event horizon with engine going full blast, so they're not moving relative to the black hole. They watch, they can see the faraway guy, or they can watch the guy falling in pass by them. So there are three different observation posts when we talk about black holes. And we try to pick the best observation posts to give the coolest, the sexiest picture of a black hole. Some of them are boring. So if we're going to say something boring, we're going to sit there and say, now I'm going to use this perspective. And I will try to show you how they all three interrelate and work in. So watching a star collapse from a black hole, from a safe distance, the far away view. And as you can see, that it says, if you watch a star collapsing from a black hole, light emitted from the star, because the star, neutron star, collapsing, there are the type of stars that, one of the masses over three that will collapse into a black hole. You'll see that the light may be redshifted, like stretched. And it would get dimmer by a factor of two every 20 microseconds per solar mass, i.e. the bigger the black hole, the faster the star would seem to dim. And that kind of makes sense. Remember yesterday we talked about general relativity and how when you're down low on the ground, the clock runs slower than when you're up high. Now, if my clock is swinging back and forth, releasing electromagnetic waves, it goes slowly, right? And as it goes slowly, it stretches, so that you can visualize what's happening there. Also, because of the time getting slower, it seems to freeze. So what would happen is, you would see, if you were out far away, you would see this star start to collapse, start to change into red, get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer by a factor of two every 20 microseconds per solar mass, and it seemed to slow down and seem to freeze. And they would both coincide. So what would happen if you just see it kind of slow down and disappear? Like watching a star from the far away, would be kind of cool because you watch this bright yellow thing, a bright white thing, depending which frequency you're looking at, and it would all kind of turn to red, small, your finger, kind of slow down, and then just seem to disappear into a sort of black ball. Right? So you can see that effect over there. By the way, these equations, on the hand, I've been using those equations. These are some of the equations you can play with. Plug in numbers, create yourself your own graph, what it would look like. How long does it take? Luminosity, how bright would it seem to be, depending on the mass? Oh, remember, we keep seeing these E's pop up. Okay, what about some dude riding the surface down? From perspective, right? Now, if you're riding the surface down, it wouldn't be fun. Because for you, your star is collapsing, getting more and more denser. For you wouldn't see anything really happening outside. You're just going down. And all of a sudden, the gravitational forces become so intense, right? The space-time, the bending of space. So it's time, but that is for sure, you'd be feeling bending of space, you become so intense that you would be crushed. You'd become one and part of the singularity that becomes the star. So the star itself would be crushed to a mathematical point, which we call a singularity. It's a point that has infinite density, but zero volume. Figure that out. Right? So, and you would be one with the star, which is not pleasant. But in doing that, I got some interesting explanations about it. In doing this, there's a point that you wouldn't know about, which is called the horizon. And we actually have two horizons, an absolute and an apparent horizon. All you need to know is once you got the singularity, the two horizons are one. The yin and yang. So one starts out and goes small, one starts smaller and goes up, and they match. And once they match, you've got yourself what we call Schwarzschild radius, the event horizon. It's the horizon that we talked about. You wouldn't notice anything about it. You get a boring trip. You're just getting crushed to a singularity. Along with any friends that you have, you can basically go along with you. Yeah. And it would be very fast. So let's kind of talk about the anatomy of the black hole. Most people talk about a black hole, and they talk about the size. Well, all they're talking about is the size of this horizon, the event horizon, the Schwarzschild radius. That's the size of a black hole. All, well not all, but most black holes have a point singularity. Now, think of this, an horizon is a location, just a distance from the singularity where the escape velocity is the speed of light. The singularity is a location that had infinite density, zero volume. So there's nothing really there. But there's nothing really there at the event horizon, just the distance. So where is all the energy of the black hole? It's incorporated in the space-time stretching that's over there. That's the black hole. It's a combination of the two pieces. Nobody ever talks about the third piece, the photon sphere. All black holes have at least one photon sphere. It's a distance. Actually, 1.5 times your Schwarzschild radius, where any light that is coming tangential across this way, across the singularity, across the black hole, would actually stay in perfect orbit. And it creates this photon sphere, and we'll talk about that. Just some interesting cool stuff with photon spheres. So when we talk, yes.
What exactly is tangential?
Well, it means a tangent. That means you that somebody answers the question. We're saying that you ask, what's tangential? I suppose it's a tangent. There's the curving of my surface. A tangent means that it is perfectly that. It just glances, just pings it, right? It doesn't go through it, just pings it. So that's a your structure of a black hole. Yes?
Sorry, you just said that it has at least one photon spin. How can it have more than one?
So my if that some more slides, I'm sure you want to have two.
Okay.
Yes. Because everybody talks about one whatever, we have a whole bunch of them. Okay. And, but this is the easiest one to understand. This, the one I'm talking about, the one with one photon sphere, the one event horizon, the singularity, which is a point, is the solution to the Schwarzschild, which is kind of the bigger ball version. The other ones are more exotic, but it's like math way up here. Okay. So a photon that would orbit, come in, right? And as we can hit the laser pointer. Photons will come in and bend. Some of them that come inside the event horizon are going in. Some of them at one and a half will actually orbit perfectly around. Because that's the speed, the speed of light is what is required to keep it at that distance. In fact, if you could take a camera, right, if you were small enough, because remember, it's a mathematical distance, one and a half Schwarzschild radius. If you were small enough, you could stick your head inside like this. You would see the back of your head. Hey, because the light would come over here, come from the back of the head, come right around, hit you in the eye because it's going in perfect. And you imagine, look in your mirror, you move toward your back of your head, move your way back, and move away. Oh, some interesting, cool stuff that happens inside there when you're inside this photon sphere. But it's a distance. Remember, and the problem with light is a wave, and if part of the wave goes outside the photon sphere, it's going in toward the horizon, and if it interacts and goes out, it can actually act up in space. But it needs to be a perfect tangential to fit this imaginary, not imaginary, this photon sphere, but it's a finite distance. A singularity, let's talk about a singularity. Right? You say the word, some of you played with it. Within the singularity, matter is infinitely compressed to a region of infinite density. At the singularity, gravity is infinite. Not an infinite in here. Right? Space-time has become infinitely curved. At the present time, science, we have no tools. Right? We have no tools to describe what's happening within the singularity. Right? This is the realm of maybe the quantum people and quantum gravity people to try to explain what's happening. I've got no tools from a general relativity perspective. All the laws of physics lose sense. Once you're dividing by zero, everything goes to perfect. Right? You try to be calculating a BDE. At a singularity, space and time cease to exist as we know them. The laws of physics break down singularity. It's not really possible to envision something with infinite density and zero volume. This is where yesterday's talk was playing. These are the next steps. We're playing with what happens if we pop from stuff for negative energy. How can we work within this strange? What sort of rules can I have just before? It's very, very close. So we've got this singularity. This is the typical embedding diagram that you see, and some of you kind of work it. This would be the gravitational well, right? And remember, this funnel thing is facing at all angles. This would represent the horizon, where the escape velocity is the speed of light. And since nothing can move faster than the speed of light, once you're inside there, you're following these little blue things right down to the singularity. Mathematically, it really says something unique. It says the properties of space and time. Do you remember, we're talking about space time? The properties of space and time switch roles when you cross the horizon. Right? When we're outside the horizon, time for us only goes in one direction. Okay, time never goes backwards for us, it always goes in one direction. Once you cross the event horizon, space. Component of space-time can only go in one direction. And that was down there. Those Penrose diagrams, you remember those funny things that you saw report on it on screen yesterday? Right? Now I've got some explanations, some baby explanations of how those things work inside the handouts. But those things are trying to show you, once you're in there, you have no choice but to go to the CLR. There was no way to get out. The only path was up. At the up path was that funny yellow and green, that yellow and black bar, which had a singularity in the top of that. All right, traveling into a black hole. So, see if you can figure out whose perspective you're looking at. As the ship approaches a black hole, the ship is elongated by the variation in gravity. The ship is also gravitational redshifted as the end closes to the black hole. The ship will appear to hover forever at the edge of the hole to pass. Now, where are we? We're outside, right? We're outside. In the ship, though, is the next line, right? You wouldn't even know. It would be, now, depending on the size of the black holes, right, depends on if the stretch will pull the ship apart. And we'll talk about that in a few. But for you, you don't even see this barrier that we call the event horizon. You're just going into something that looks very dark. I got some images from this perspective later on. So you pass in, and your ship would start to feel the stresses, what we call tidal acceleration. But from the outside, and I picked this little Borg cube to roll the Star Trek, seemed to be in yesterday, a Borg cube stretched, redder stretching, because the light is closer to the black hole, closer to the singularity, and therefore it stretched further when it comes out, so it appears to us redder. All right, here's your first question. Here's the formula. Some of you may have looked at you are at 1.000001 times the event horizon circumference, right, which is CB. CB is the circumference of the black hole. Then one day for you would mean how many days for the rest of the universe, or something way far away. Do you remember time that's all? If you were at one, now if anybody need a calculator, you can do this stuff, so need calculators, just raise your hand again. So, see if you can do the, it should only take you a couple of steps to the calculator. That's your, what they call the circumference of your black hole. Okay, but you're 1.000001 times that distance. So, certain things you want to cancel out very nice and neatly. And all I have to do is tell you what? Yeah, you want your cut. Team one. Any more calculators? Now, I didn't tell you which one was T1 or T2, but I can tell you some people. But you can think of it, time has to go slower when you're closer. So if you can answer that with backwards, so you know you picked the wrong value for T1, T2, right? So for you, it's one day. Right? So your time slows down. It's got to be more than one day for somebody way far away. And that's the answer to the question. How many days? Yeah, is the circumference of your black hole. You're doing the circumference where you are, but I'm telling you that you are 1.00001 times the event horizon. So in other words, yeah, subtract it from one to the square root, and then you just gotta pick one, maybe one over that, get it. So hopefully everybody's doing this and saying, oh, it's 1.0001, so that's one over that. Right, because you're bigger than CB, you're further away from CB, then you take 1 minus that, then the square root of that, then it's 1 over that, and you hopefully you end up with a number, probably about 1,000. I use the exact equations to pull mine out, rather than the shortened version you've got, but you should have about 1,000, am I correct?
Yeah.
1,000 eggs. Think of this. You've just invented a time machine. Take one spaceship. Have the spaceship go closer to the event horizon. Have it hover there. Hovers there for 1 day and then comes back out. The rest of the universe is about 3 years further away. For them, you spent 3 years visiting the black hole. For you, it was only 1 day. Okay, now. I'm telling you about this business proposition, right? You can actually do time travels or us, right? So any idea I give you, I usually take 10%. So once you get the business running, right, I'll give you my email address and you can just send me the residual checks. Okay? And I do take a ask for it. There we go. If you hovered here, visible light would appear in what wavelength? So E for emitted, R for received. So these equations are collapsing from part of the Schwarzschild metric I gave you. You're just modifying them around a bit to show you how you can use the map. And this map tells them what you see. Something of that scale, which is in the X-rays. Now, what about visiting a black hole? Right. There you are with your buddy. That's the effect that your buddy would basically see. I'm going to go collapsing in. Experiencing acceleration, a stretching, and a fading to black. Okay. Not a good thing to do. Now, we have a precise scientific name for what occurs to you. You're the one falling in. We actually have a mathematical precise, it took many years to figure this thing out, to explain what happens to you if you're the ones who do fall in. It's called spaghettification. Very interesting. This is this formula here. Again, I'm giving you these things so you can play with the numbers on your own. This tells the acceleration difference between your head and your foot. So between the head and the feet, you feel an acceleration. Now, I simplified it out here to register proportionality. The change in acceleration means the difference in acceleration you feel between your head and your feet. Remember, the greater the distance, the difference, the more you stretched. It is proportional to 1/√ of the mass of the black hole. This is very interesting. It's counterintuitive. It means that if you have a supermassive black hole, billions of solar mass black holes, you can actually visit, you pass through the event horizon. Remember, once you go through the event horizon, you're not getting out. You can pass through the event horizon, but you will not feel very many tidal forces. You will actually, you can actually get, if you get a black hole with the order of magnitude of the size of a galaxy, you can live for years inside by passing through the event horizon. Remember, you're still going in toward the singularity, but you can live for years. Only the last moment will the tidal forces be so intense that it will stretch you to instant spaghetti. And it will be faster than your neurons can transmit it, so you wouldn't feel a thing. Can you calculate the tidal forces? You can calculate this. Yeah, you can calculate the tidal forces, right? But you can, this one, we have to calculate the difference between the tidal forces, so which is the change in acceleration, which is more important. Because that's the process you want to do. But yeah, mathematically, you can calculate the tidal forces. Yes?
Would you say those two represent?
They just represent the acceleration, the difference between acceleration and your curve. What is the difference? That's delta means difference?
Each piece represents a different
so we're just looking at what is the change in acceleration. So the change in acceleration. And this actually gives you a numerical value description, a nice proportionality. A small black hole, you're toast. Because acceleration, you will feel it so rapidly. Think about the event horizon is a lot closer to the singularity. One way of visualizing it. And therefore, you will be torn apart very, very quickly. Like you would be torn apart even before you got to the event horizon. Because if your feet would be accelerating faster than your head, you'd be stretched this way. And it's no fun. Got a couple of little clips. This is what somebody falling in would actually see. This is actual calculations. You may see Orion Nebula over here before it comes in. So as you're approaching, you would see this void, because nothing can get out of the event horizon, so you can't see any coming out. And you would see this black thing getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you're orbiting a black hole looking down, this is kind of neat. Kind of looking down, because light is whipping around, similar light is zipping out, and as long as it doesn't fall into the black hole, light can store, escape, and bend. Some of it will go around and come back to you from this direction, some will come back from this direction. So you'll see things that seem to be moving clockwise and counterclockwise. You'll see copies of the same images, one approaching you, one moving away from you. But cool, better than the one with the black thing appearing, right? Looking at the photon sphere. So you're hovering at the photon sphere, kind of looking. Because remember, you have the whole photon sphere, right? You're red light. So you see the stars above you, but you're not seeing anything coming back. But again, you see the different perspectives. Light that's gone around and coming back this way, so light that's going around this way, some light's going around and coming in and coming back. You get all these different perspectives. So I was approaching, but then it seemed to disappear. You see the back end coming, almost like what I'm talking about. You see the back of your head, and you move toward it. Here it comes, and there it goes. Okay. Here it comes, there it goes. Stuff like that. So interesting stuff. And then, of course, this is all curving out in perspective. You're falling in. You're looking up. So, this is what you would see. Yeah, I know. You're sitting there seeing the whole universe converge to a little bright spot.
No, but okay.
Exactly.